Amen. Title of this message is The Perfect Equation. Look at Jeremiah 29. I'm going to share this in the Message Bible. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. This is God's word on the subject. As soon as Babylon's 70 years are up, and not a day before, I'll show up and take care of you as I promised and bring you back home. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. And the first thing I saw, and I've read this passage any number of times, but it says, as soon as Babylon's 70 years are up and not a day before, I'll show up and take care of you as I promised. Too many times we get anxious. We know what God has said, but we want to know when. Well, as soon as is when it will happen. As soon as God's ready, he said it. He said it, set in place. After Babylon's 70 years, he was going to do something. He said, I'm not going to do it a day before. I'm going to do it as soon as the 70 years are up. He said, I'll show up. When your time is up, he'll show up. Just like he said. He says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. So you don't have to feel alone out there. And plans to give you the future you hope for. It's important to know that God is the one that has the plan. And he told us, gave us some insight as to what his plan was. He said, a plan to take care of you, plans not to abandon you, plans to give you the future you hope for. And it led me to think about some of the things that, for lack of a better word, are plaguing God's people. Because since God said that he's going to take care of us, why are so many of us sick? We're not going around hoping for sickness. We don't want sickness in our life. But God said something about it in Isaiah 53:5, talking about Jesus. He said, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we are healed. In Exodus 15, verse 26, King James Version, says, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, he will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. It means he'll do what he said. I will put none of these diseases, and you look up that word none, it means I will allow. I will allow none of these diseases upon thee, which I have allowed upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So we know God's not confused. He's not unsure about any part of his plan for us. He said, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out, plans to take care of you, not to abandon you, plans to give you the future you hope for. So since he's got everything all figured out, and since he's taking care of everything, what do we have to do in order to reach and achieve the expected end? That's the question. What do we have to do? I was thinking about that question, and the first thing that came into my thinking was too often we don't want to do anything. We want God to just supernaturally do it, whatever it may be for you. I mean, if I'm thinking about losing weight, why should I have to go to the gym? Why do I have to be mindful of what I eat? Why do I have to do those things? Why do I have to make sure I get the proper amount of rest? Why do I have to tithe if I want a blessing? Why do I have to, why can't God just, why can't I just supernaturally lose weight, stay healthy, have unlimited energy, and an overflow of abundance? Why can't that just happen? After all, he's God. did we ever stop to think that God is supernatural? So when you're doing what God says, you're operating in the supernatural. God's supernatural. Since he's supernatural, we conclude everything that he does is supernatural. And that has to mean that when we're doing what God says, we're operating in the supernatural. Because we're doing what our supernatural God says, and the process must be equal to the desired result. What we do has to be equal to what we want. When I was playing basketball, I like to say when I was a basketball player, because it means something different. My position, today it would have been called the four or five. Back then it was called forward. Not power forward or small forward, it was you were a forward. You had to rebound, play defense, and hit jump shots from 10 feet and in. But you also had to, like I said, you had to pound the boards to get rebounds, kick the ball out, sprint down to the other end, filling the lanes, either going in and getting a layup or tapping in because the guard didn't hit you with the pass and took a long jump shot and missed. And now you got to jump, try and tap it in and run back down to the other court and do the same thing over again. You're just running back and forth, jumping, tapping, trying to do what your position calls for. To get ready for that, they want me to go out and run 3 miles. Running 3 miles, that process wouldn't get me in shape for the results that the coach was expecting. So I came up with a different training routine. I'd stand under the rim, jump 10 times, grabbing it, sprint down the other end, do the same thing, sprint back, do the same thing, because the process, the results for me was I had to run and jump, and I had to jump strong. I found out that most people can jump strong 2 times. Third time is half-hearted, fourth time they just forget it. I could go 10. My process was equal to the result. What I was doing to get ready was equal to what I had to do, or I should say was equal to what I had to get ready for. So that means that what we do should result in our achieving what God desires for us. But we have to receive an unpopular revelation. God has the perfect equation. It's man plus God equals God's blessings, health, fruitfulness, multiplication, replenishment, or you could say restoration of the earth, keeping the earth under control and having dominion over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. That sounds familiar. It is. That's what he told Adam in the garden. But that's his perfect, the equation is man plus God can accomplish those things. Man without God cannot. You cannot get away from it. You cannot take God out of the equation. If you want what God wants, you have to do what God says, when God says, and how God says, and stick with it. There's no other way to get what God says for us unless we do exactly what he says. There is no way. He said he knows what he's doing. He said he has it all planned out, plans to take care of us, not to abandon us, plans to give us the future we hope for. Now, just by definition, an equation is an expression of equality between two formulas. It's the state of being equal, equivalent, or equally balanced. A situation or problem in which a number of factors need to be considered. Well, in Genesis 1, 26 to 28, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So think about this. When you think about creation, in Genesis 1, every time God created something, he looked to see that to make sure it was good, except when he created man. He didn't do that when he created man. Genesis 2, verse 7 says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So he made man after his image and after his likeness, and he filled man with himself. And he breathed his breath into a lifeless form, and that lifeless form became a God container. Or you could say lifeless form became a clone. I don't really like the term clone, but that's what I heard. So God knew he had created a being that had his image, his character, and instincts, and was also filled with him. He didn't have to check to see if man was good. He knew man was good because he made man to be just like him. So anyone looking at man would see God. That's why we call what we call a no-brainer. Anyone that looks at us being the children of God, should see God. You know, I have three sons and a daughter. My sons look like me. Everywhere we go, they say, oh, you can't deny them. Well, I wouldn't want to anyway. And just like I am with my dad, sometimes I look in the mirror and I startle myself. I think I'm looking at my dad. And I saw a picture of my oldest son, and I called him and I said, you're looking more and more. He said, I know, Dad, I saw it today. Well, I don't need him to look like me, but God needs us to be just like him. He wants it that when people see us, they see him. And in verse 28, he blessed them. He said to them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth. I know I shared this earlier, but it's relevant. Replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So understand that when God originally created earth, it was perfect. When Satan fell, the earth became void and darkness covered everything, and God was not going to let that happen again. He knew that Satan was already present on his planet, and he needed to have a constant presence on this planet to make sure that everything stayed the way he recreated it. That makes sense. So he created a being, man, whose job was to restore and maintain all that God had recreated. But man could not do his part unless he was connected to God. Look at John 15. Jesus said, I am the real vine. This is the Message Bible. He said, I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear fruit, and every branch that is grape bearing, he prunes back so it'll bear even more. You are already pruned back by the message I have spoken. Live in me. Make your home in me just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine. You can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted on. See, God has this perfect equation. As long as mankind lives out the equation, he or she will receive everything God said. And again, that equation, and I'll probably read it a few times, man plus God equals blessings, health, fruitfulness, multiplication, replenishment, or you could say restoration of the earth, keeping earth under control and having dominion over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Or the short version is, man plus God equals man receiving everything God said to him in the garden. But something happened. And that something was sin. And the question is, why did Adam and Eve sin? And I always make things personal. Why do I sin? Have we ever thought about why we sin? Because when you think about it, you realize Adam and Eve had everything. Everything. They didn't have to live by faith because everything they could possibly need was already there. And everything had to obey them. Because they looked like, sounded like, and acted like God. Every single tree was pleasing to the eye and good for food. They communed daily with God. Anything they wanted to know, they could ask God. Yet they sinned because they wanted what they already had. What was the result of sin? The ground was cursed. Adam no longer had dominion and authority. Now he had to work. Unity among the animals left. Some became predators, some became prey. And sadly, the rule of this world was given over to Satan. Well, what about God's perfect equation? Well, Adam and Eve did something that was never meant to be done. They changed, they altered the equation. How did they change it? They took God out of it and chose to connect with something else. They knew what God said, but they didn't consider it. We're the same way. We know what God said, we just don't consider it as being the truth, as being the only way for us to achieve what was prepared for us. Now look at Genesis 3, verse 6. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, but he was not more subtle than Adam and Eve, because they were not one of the beasts of the field. And he said to the woman, yea, has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. The equation, part of the equation was, you eat this, you have life. You eat this, and you add that forbidden tree, it no longer equals life. Now it equals death. Because he said, you will surely die. And the serpent said, you won't surely die. God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. I saw something this afternoon. I apologize, I meant to write down a scripture, but I didn't. He said, the day you eat, your eyes will be open. The Bible says, that servant that knows the Lord's will and doesn't do it shall be beaten with many stripes. But the servant that doesn't know will be beaten with few. Before Adam and Eve ate of that tree, they didn't know. Once they knew, beaten with many stripes. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. Scriptures say that Adam was not deceived, but Eve was deceived and was part of the transgression. Well, if you're not deceived, then that means you know what's going on. I'm not going to go into it tonight, but Adam, in my opinion, threw his wife under the bus. But Eve took up the fruit and he did eat and gave it to her husband and he ate. What's missing from this? God. They took what God said out of the equation. They never considered what God said. Never considered it as being that valuable, precious, or life-giving. So they ate from the forbidden tree, and something happened that they never considered, never expected, never thought could happen. They no longer looked like God because they were no longer filled with God. And as a matter of truth, what they saw in themselves was so frightening, they covered themselves with leaves. This change happened because man inserted two other components into God's already perfect equation. Self and choice. They put their self in there. How so? They put in what they wanted. She looked at the tree and said, I desire that. It looks good. Doesn't matter that every tree in the garden looked good and every tree in the garden tasted good. I want that tree. Period. I want that tree. So now they have a choice, and they made the wrong choice. They wanted to satisfy their desire, so they figured out we don't have to listen to God. How many times do we go from person to person until we find someone that tells us what we want to do is okay? The Bible calls that having itching ears. You know what the Word says. We know what we're supposed to do based on what the Word says. But we're going to find somebody that's going to let us know that it's not all that serious. Yes, it is. Because the result of man choosing to insert something else into God's perfect equation made the ground cursed. Pain in childbirth, sickness, disease, total confusion among the animals. Some chose to keep their God-given nature. Others chose the nature of their new king, Satan, and became deceptive and predatory. Because the equation was changed, the process was different. So they didn't stick with the perfect occasion. This is how that account should have read. And when the woman saw that the tree, well, first of all, it shouldn't even have gotten to this point, but here we are. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she considered God. She thought about who God was, all he had done, and most importantly, what he had said. So she took the serpent and gave it to her husband with her, and he cast the serpent out of the garden. That's what should have happened. If they had considered. See, there's a difference between consider and knowing. Considering and knowing. Knowing means you're aware of it. That's what knowing means. Don't play on Route 59. I know there are cars out there. Considering, I know there are cars out on Route 59, and some of them move pretty fast and they dart in and out. I better wait for the light before I cross, because I don't know. I know the cars are there, but I don't know how fast they're moving. I don't know their reflex action of the driver. I don't know if he's been drinking or on a cell phone. I don't know what he's doing. So I'm just going to follow the rules and cross at the green and not in between, as they used to say when I was a child. But knowing means you're aware of something. Like, I'm aware this is a Wednesday night and there was going to be a Bible study stream. Considering means you take it into account. You think carefully in order to make a decision. That means, okay, I know I have to minister tonight. All right, God, I have to consider what it is that you want me to share with your people. Because it's not about what I think, it's about what you want. Not what I think they need, it's about what you know they need. I have to consider that. And often sometimes it takes me longer than others to prepare, because in my considering, I sometimes veer off into what I think might be good. And God will let me go for a while, and then it's like he taps me on the shoulder and said, is this your message or mine? I'm like, well, I don't have any messages, Lord. But taking into account, it means you're thinking carefully in order to make a decision, and you're making allowances for it. Adam and Eve knew what God said, just like we know what God said. But also like us, they didn't take time to consider it. We don't take time to consider it. You think about how many things you did you knew were wrong, but you figured nothing would ever happen to you because of it. I'm not saying something will, but you put yourself out there. And we change it by removing God. When we remove God, we change His perfect equation. And when we change His perfect equation, we no longer get perfect results. When you change the equation, folks, you don't know what you're going to get. But you can, I can guarantee you, it won't be what God wants. He said in Exodus 15, I believe we read this earlier, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. That doesn't mean every now and then. That means all of the time. And will do that which is right in His sight. Not our sight. Do what's right in His sight. And will give ear to His commands. That means we'll listen to His commands and keep all His statutes. We'll do everything He says. That I will allow none of these diseases upon thee which I have allowed upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So if I'm sick or sickness has overtaken me, the question is, am I doing all that God has instructed me to do? Because He said that if I do that, He'll not allow any sickness to come upon me. I'm not saying you do something wrong, God's going to just say, sickness, go get them. But you put yourself outside of the equation. You have to get back into the equation. I've said this a number of times, because it just seems to fit everywhere. But once you pass exit 16, I believe, 16 and 17, it's 17 miles to the next exit. 17 miles. If you're not paying attention and you miss the exit, you have to keep going 17 miles so you can get off, cross that road, get back on, and go 17 miles back to where you missed it. There's no way out of that. But I know if I'm doing everything God has instructed me to do, He will not allow sickness to come upon me. He'll not allow it. He's already told me, because I talked to Him about some things concerning my body, and He said to me, I'll keep you while you're doing what I tell you to do. So that means if I'm not doing what He tells me to do, He doesn't have any obligation to keep me, because He's already told me the equation. Man plus God equal all the blessings of God. But see, in that equation, man is receiving God to himself. He's becoming one with God. And that oneness with God gives us the authority, power, and victory over sickness and any other thing that tries to come against us. So the question would be, all right, well, what about the things that are going on in the world today? That's why Pastor Clinton would say, what about them? The Word says in 1 Timothy 2, according to the Amplified Classic Bible, first of all, I admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be offered on behalf of all men. All men. For kings and all who are in positions of authority or high responsibility, that, you know, you could say, so that outwardly we may pass or live a quiet and undisturbed life. Inwardly, a peaceable one, in all godliness and reverence and seriousness in every way. For such praying is good and right, and it's pleasing and acceptable to God our Savior, who wishes all men to be saved and increasingly to perceive and recognize and discern and know precisely and correctly the divine truth. Are we living in all godliness and reverence today? No. But that's what God said He wants. I know that. But He gave us the equation. Pray for men everywhere, kings and all that are in authority. And He specifically told us to pray that we will live a quiet and peaceable life. That means we're not just praying for the people in office who we like. If they're in office, we pray for them. And our prayer isn't get rid of them. Their prayer is, God, they'll make choices that will cause us to live a quiet and peaceable life. Because I don't know, well, I'll say it this way. It doesn't matter how dumb we think someone may be or how wrong we think they are for that position. We're not God. We can listen to someone today and they get a revelation and change their opinion tomorrow. So I don't make choices based on opinion. I find out from God, all right, Lord, who deserves my vote? What petition do I vote yes to? Which one do I vote no to? Because you're the one with the plan for my life, and you know whether or not this person is going to have an epiphany and change for the better, or something's going to happen and they're going to pull away from you. I don't know that. I only know the words they're speaking right now at this moment. So I'm sticking with the equation. When I think about it, the first thing we do, we remove from an equation, is praying for all men. That's the first thing. And he said, such praying is good and right, and it's pleasing and acceptable to God. So that means if we don't pray like that, what we're doing is not pleasing or right or acceptable. Changes the equation. Changes the equation. We took God out of it and replaced it with self. John 15, Passion Translation, verse 5. Jesus said, I am the sprouting vine, and you are my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, when you take yourself out of the equation or you take me out of the equation, when you live separated from me, you are powerless. And when you take God out of the equation, folks, all we are left with is chaos. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because with God out of the equation, there's no controlling factor and people just do what they want. In 1 Peter 1, verse 13 and 16. This is out of a translation called the Expanded Bible. So therefore, for this reason, prepare your minds for service. Prepare your minds for action, or be alert. Gird the loins of your mind and have self-control. Be disciplined. All your hope should be for focus. All your hope should be focused on the gifts of grace that will be yours, brought, given to you when Jesus Christ is shown to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now that you as or like obedient children of God, children who do not live as you did in the past, you did not understand, so you did the evil things you wanted, do not be shaped by the desires, lust of your former ignorance, but be holy in all you do. Your behavior, conduct, just as God, the one who called you, is holy. For because it's written in the scriptures, you must be holy because I am holy. Remember earlier I talked about the difference between knowing and considering? Taking things into account, thinking carefully to make a decision, contemplating, reflecting, giving regard, bearing in mind, making allowance for, and paying attention. 1 Peter 1, verse 15 is subtitled, Consider Soberly What God Has Done For You. Consider it. So brace up your minds, and as men who know what they are doing, rest the full weight of your hopes on the grace that will be yours when Jesus Christ reveals himself. Live as obedient children before God. Don't let your character be molded by the desires of your ignorant days, but be holy in every department of your lives. Be holy in every department of your lives. For the one who has called you is himself holy. The scripture said, be holy, for I am holy. If we're not living holy, we've changed the equation. We've changed it. God made the equation perfect. Man connected to God, can accomplish anything. Man, disconnected from God, accomplishes nothing. We have to consider our options there and make a choice. Do we want the perfect God's perfect equation, or do we want to write our own? We will not be holy as God is holy unless we take the time to fill up with and stay filled with God. We will not be holy if we keep removing God from the equation. We have to be filled to the brim with Him. Filled to the brim with Him. If we want to live according to God's perfect equation, we have to take heed to what He said. This is God's word on the subject. Jeremiah 29, I'll close with this. As soon as Babylon's 70 years are up and not a day before, I'll show up and take care of you as I promised and bring you back home. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. We have to remember who has the plan. We have to remember who wrote the equation and make sure we stick with His plan by living in His equation. Father, we thank You. Thank You for that sure word, that power-packed word, Lord. Let us know that our life is in our hands, not in Yours. You already gave us the formula. Stay connected to You, period. In everything we do, stay connected. Don't let You go. Don't let Your words proceed out of our mouth. But let them stay within us, shaping our hearts, shaping our thoughts, shaping our desires, so that we be holy as You are holy. And we thank You that throughout the weeks and months and years, the Holy Ghost will bring this message back to our remembrance in those weak moments, in those times when we have an inkling to do something different. You'll tell us, just simply tell us, is this part of My perfect equation? Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God's got a perfect equation. And don't be like I was with math. Don't take 3 years to understand it. I hope you understand it now. One factor in the equation that we have to understand. If we're going to be connected to God, there's only one way to do it. Through the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father lest they come by Me. And He made it very simple to connect with Him. He said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. So, real quick, let's make this confession. Father God, I believe that You are God, and I believe You're the one with the purpose and plan for my life. I want the future that You have promised me. So I believe You are God. I believe Jesus Christ is Your Son. I believe He died on the cross. I believe He was buried and went to hell. And I believe after 3 days in hell, Lord, You raised Him from the dead and He's seated at Your right hand and is coming again soon. So Jesus, I ask You, come into my heart. Come into my life. I want to be in the equation with You. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn to You, and I'm asking You to make something new of me. It's in Your name that I pray. Well, friends, according to the Bible, if you made that confession and you believed it in your heart, you just got born again. Congratulations. And we'd like to officially welcome you into the family of God. And we know that you probably have a lot of questions, if you like most people, and they do when they get saved. And we have answers. All we need you to do is contact us, and we will send you free information. It's not a solicitation to get you to be a member. If you want to be a member here, you could ask. We'll let you know then. But you're a member of the family of God now. We want to get information to you so you'll know how to get into the equation and stay in the equation. So you see the ways to contact us. Please use them. If you have any questions, use the same contact information and send me a note, email, a text, whatever the ways there that they have up there. You contact me, I promise you, I will respond. May not be the same day that I get the request, but it won't be long after that.